Support for NPR and the following message come from Carvana, on a mission to make car buying more convenient and affordable than ever before. In minutes, you can browse thousands of options under $20,000. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today to get started.
Welcome to World Cafe. Hey, it's Kaleo. DJ Shadow is a sampling pioneer, a world-class producer, and as I've learned over the years, a true music anthologist. His record collection, spread across multiple storage units, is in the tens of thousands. So it takes a lot to get his attention. But when a friend sent him a link to an eBay listing for a collection of about 200 mixtapes filled with R&B and club music, all recorded off the radio in the 1980s, he took notice. The music he heard inspired his new album, Action Adventure. Shadow joins me to talk about making a soundtrack for a movie in his mind, growing as a composer, and how he still diligently chases down undiscovered sounds, one musical rabbit hole at a time. Our conversation coming up after a bit of the song that opens the album, Action Adventure. This is Ozone Scraper. It's DJ Shadow on World Cafe. It's DJ Shadow on World Cafe, that is Ozone Scraper. It's the track that opens his latest studio album, Action Adventure. Josh Davis is DJ Shadow, and he is my guest today. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe. Welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
So in 2020, you were coming off of touring your last record, Our Pathetic Age, when the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And I talked to a lot of folks over that time who were making art, and they were either leaning into the pandemic or intentionally leaning away from it. Mm-hmm. And you didn't even choose to participate in that time.
Yeah, I mean, I think very quickly, it wasn't a case of me sitting around feeling sorry for myself. It was more just, you know, I think it's human nature again to kind of, how can I get out in front? What's the likely end game here? How can I support my family?
Right.
You know, it gets to those core things. And as it pertains to music, I went through a long phase, probably about a year and a half, where I really just didn't want to listen to new music at all.
Yeah.
Because I felt that everything I was hearing was in some way tainted by this misery. And
yeah, it's not a good soundtrack for what's happening right now.
Because I also didn't want to make any music because I didn't want to kind of subconsciously imprint this awfulness into the music I was making, because that's not how I choose to relate to the music I make. I want the music I make to come from a sound place mentally.
Right. So it doesn't necessarily have to be attached to a specific time period, which is probably how a lot of musicians were looking at what they were writing and recording during that time.
Yeah, I really didn't want to make like my COVID record.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I wanted to move on from it as quickly as possible, which was obviously hard. But that's also why I just didn't do anything for a long time. I didn't want, and actually what brought me back to a positive relationship with music, period, was allowing myself a little bit of nostalgia.
Yeah, tell me about this eBay auction, because it seems like if you're the type of person who is interested in crate digging, a find like this is pretty cool.
It started off just as an email from a friend that with a link to the auction, and he basically just wrote, "If anybody should have this stuff, it's you, ha ha," or something like that. So cool. I clicked on the link and I was like, okay, and basically what it was somebody who 30 plus years ago, let me think about this, time flies, 40 years ago, in the exact same way that I did with my radio stations I had access to in the Bay Area and LA, I used to sit around on Friday and Saturday nights taping the mixes.
Yeah.
This was the only way you could hear hip hop music.
Mm-hmm.
Like in 1984, 1985, most major chains didn't have a great selection of hip hop. Almost all of it was independent. A lot of it was just sold very regionally.
Yeah.
And if you didn't live in New York City or Philly or a couple other hotspots, it was very hard to find. There was no internet, there was no streaming. It was all just, you either catch it flying through the air over the radio or you miss it. So this person was in the Baltimore area, DC, parts of Virginia is where this station reached. And basically what the tapes were that region's mix crew, these young kids, all the synapses firing, all this enthusiasm, all this youthful energy, and a music which was just starting to find its feet as a, you know, obviously momentous artistic renaissance.
Yeah. And so listening to that, how did that, give me the through line to, mm-hmm. to Action Adventure and how that sort of maybe inspired or it played a part in getting you back into recording music?
Yeah, I just think for so long, not only did I not want to listen to new music because I didn't, it sort of all felt tainted, I also didn't want to listen to music that I loved. So, because I didn't want to imprint again this awfulness of 2021, 2022 on music that I cherished.
Yeah.
So this allowed me a kind of secret backdoor to be able to listen to music that I could kind of go, okay, these aren't my mixes I grew up listening to. This is kind of a parallel universe. I can dabble, I can drop in and out of this music and not worry necessarily about how either it makes me feel or I like any kind of latent energy that I put on it.
Yeah.
And as a result, I mean, I felt like a little kid again. I was hearing this great music that in most cases I was intimately familiar with, but in some cases I was like, whoa, do I even own this? Like, what is this? This is great.
That's awesome.
I also have to say, one of my most cherished hip hop acts of all time and criminally underrated is a group called Mantronix. These guys loved Mantronix. So they sprinkled every mix with Mantronix songs. And it really just kind of, I was like, I want to hang out with these guys. You know what I mean? And it really just, it just brought the joy of just a pure, unadulterated joy of music in any form, regardless of era, regardless of genre. I was like, okay, cool. I'm, it's back. Like the love is back. I was like, okay, I'm going to just start playing around and making music that makes me feel good like this music makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And one of the first tracks to kind of come out of that was a song called You Played Me, which is probably most directly linked to the energy of those tapes.
Definitely screams early 80s R&B. Let's right. take a listen to it right now. It's You Played Me from DJ Shadow on World Cafe. DJ Shadow, You Played Me. It's from the new album, Action Adventure. DJ Shadow is my guest here on World Cafe. You talk about wanting a song to go somewhere, right? You know, to go on a journey. You said when you were working on chord progressions for this record, you'd ask yourself, what would be most natural and least predictable?
Mm-hmm.
As someone who is a non-musician, that is hard to wrap your brain around. How do you achieve that dynamic?
I mean, and I consider myself a non-musician in that respect. I mean, I didn't have any classical training. I had maybe a year and a half of piano as a kid, which definitely helped and sparks a lot of things. I think, you know, taking music education is great, and I wish I took more of it as an adult. But, you know, I think when you hear music, certainly when I hear pop songs on the radio, the biggest turnoff for me is I know exactly what's coming.
Where it's going to go.
I know exactly what the note is going to be. I know exactly what they're going to do. I know they're going to hold here for a couple of seconds for the swell to kick in and then the big soaring chorus. And that drives me crazy. I don't like that. I don't like to be kind of patronized in that way. You know what I mean? As a listener.
Can you give me an example of where that dynamic came into play on a track on Action Adventure, where there's a song that like it takes maybe an unexpected direction, but it felt natural to you?
There's a solo, and by solo, I mean like a synth solo. And I've been working more and more on getting better at incorporating synths in a natural feeling way into my music, because I'm known for being the sample guy and basing entire, you know, albums off of just samples, and that's great. That's one discipline. But I've always felt that to grow, you have to engage in and be multidisciplinarian. And, you know, a kick drum can be a drum machine. It can be a live drum. It can be a breakbeat. It can be so many things. So in trying to work with more synths, there's a song on the record called Friend or Foe. And I knew I wanted to have a keyboard solo, but so I'm kind of feeling, I just do it all by feel and take it slow and kind of like, you know, do a bar or two and then see how it sits and come back to it the next day. Is it still sitting good? But the bad notes or the obvious notes really leap out, especially when you aren't sitting there in the moment, kind of looking at your watch going, gee, I've been sitting here for 3 hours. I think this must be good enough. Because you like to fool your mind into thinking that you're being productive, when in fact, you may have just, if you're an author, you may have just typed 10 pages of Dreck and have to start over.
You're spinning your wheels.
Yeah.
You don't even know it.
Right. So I think that's a real good part of the process. But there's a solo in there, sort of two-thirds of the way through the song, that I just kind of decided, all right, I'm just going to do this differently than I usually do. And tried to think a little bit more sophisticated, I guess, in terms of, I can't even really put it into musical terms, but just, well, that note is obvious. What's less obvious? Okay, that seems cool.
Let's take a listen to a little bit of that synth solo in Friend or Foe. It's DJ Shadow here on World Cafe. Thanks for being here, listening to World Cafe. I am Kaleo here with DJ Shadow. The new album is called Action Adventure. When I first found out you were going to be here, the first question I internalized for a legendary crate digger was, do you ever hit a wall? Do you ever feel like you've run out of music to sample? So in researching the interview, I was surprised it's actually the opposite. You've kind of had to come to terms with there's too much music. Can you kind of elaborate on that?
Well, I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, what, 60 to 100,000 songs are being, you know, uploaded onto Spotify on a daily basis. I mean, that's one way you could answer that question. But in terms of digging and vinyl and all that, certainly as a collector, I learned, you know, 20, 30 years ago that you can't have it all. You'll never have it all. Nobody ever will. Mm-hmm. I certainly have gone harder than a lot of collectors in terms of just having a large appetite and being in positions at the right moment in the right place a few times over the last 20 years to acquire large volumes. Mm-hmm. But also, I never really saw that as something that you walk around kind of crowing about, like, look at me. I always intended to kind of parse the good stuff out. Unfortunately for me, though, just life being what it is, I still haven't gotten around to doing a lot of that.
There just isn't enough time.
No.
In the day. How much time do you think you spend listening to music when you're not in the making, but in the collecting, just listening daily, as a fan? Yeah.
At least 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it takes so many forms. Like one record, the label might intrigue me, and I'll go online and like, what else came out on this label? Where's this label from? Who owned this label? Who ran this label? Where did it go? What genres were they into? I mean, that's a big part of it as well, mm-hmm. is just trying to stuff knowledge into my head as a collector, as a fan, as a DJ, as somebody who might potentially also use the music.
Yeah. We live right now in a society where information overload is happening.
Yeah.
Not just with music, but with everything, you know, with entertainment content, so on. Like, do you have an approach or a philosophy about how you listen to something so you can block out the noise, all of the external stimuli, and just listen like you listened when you were a teenager?
Absolutely. And actually, this is another, again, I mean, earlier today I was at a record store and buying some stuff.
You don't say.
Yeah. And I have a very, very, very small group of collecting friends that I consider to be, you know, mentors and peers. One of our kind of unspoken rules is we don't care. We're not hunting grails. And so what we mean by that is like, okay, yeah, there's a $1,500 record or a $10,000 record on eBay today. That's cool. But like, we don't do that. But for a lot of collectors, it's sort of like, it's not interesting enough for them unless like every other collector friend of theirs wants it.
There's a rarity.
So there's a bragging rights built into it. And that's just something that I think is inherently corrupting. Now, that's not to say I won't drop a lot of money for a record I've been looking for the last 30 years. I will.
No doubt.
But I'll also happily scoop up or be at a thrift store and be like, oh, pretty sure these are like kind of just totally off the map, like early 70s country or singer-songwriter things or whatever. But yeah, I'll roll the dice for a dollar.
Absolutely. This is World Cafe. We're hanging out with DJ Shadow. The new album is called Action Adventure. When I first heard this, I was like, this is so wild. I absolutely loved it. Free for all. Sometimes I a little rock and roll, a little country, a little hip hop, it just speaks to me. What's the origin story behind that?
Sometimes I think it's really powerful when I find a sample and I start putting it together, and I like these moments that happen on any record where I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Is this dancing on the edge of being just way too cheesy or way too big of a joke? Or is it an inside joke nobody else is going to get, but there's something here I really like? I mean, that happened with Organ Donor.
Sure.
On my first album, Introducing, one of my, you know, most...
signature song,
a signature track, and I can't not play it live or else people will, like, throw things at me. But when I turned the album in to my A&R guy, James Lavelle, I actually was kind of like, well, I think he's going to hate this track because he's going to think it's like too cheeky or too, I don't know, too jokey, not serious enough, not kind of scholarly enough or something, whatever I was thinking in my mind. But then I kind of thought of it as, well, you know, even a serious, weighty film needs moments of levity. As I feel like with the case of Free For All, if it's like a brew or a recipe that I've never tried before, then I'm kind of more inclined to give it some breathing room and let it try to take hold while I'm working on the album. And that's kind of what happened with it, is I just kind of went, well, this is that moment on the record. It's fun. It's not, you know, because there are some heavy, darker moments on the record.
Sure.
And I've always felt that an album at its best, just like a film, just like a book, should represent the totality of one's daily existence. Most of us aren't linear, you know, sort of I'm at the exact same mental state that I was this morning, that I am at night, that I was at lunch, you know. Yeah. Most of us have our little ebbs and flows and ups and downs, and I think good art should reflect that.
Let's have some fun. Here's Free For All. It's DJ Shadow on World Cafe. That is DJ Shadow. The song is called Free For All. The new album is available now. It's called Action Adventure. Thank you so much for being here. This was an absolute blast.
Cool. Thank you. Appreciate it.
This is World Cafe.
Every time you drive your car, have a package delivered, or get on a plane, you're polluting the climate. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Nature is powerful. Why don't we use it to our advantage?
Meet the people working on cleaner ways to get around on Here and Now Anytime from NPR and WBUR. Transportation Climate Solutions on Here and Now Anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beats. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.